It is February the 3rd. Oh, we have a lot of games to go through. There was no pre-game show. Anyone that thought they missed the pre-game show, I also missed the pre-game show. Slept in a little bit, had to go to work. So it just didn't happen. But that's okay. We are here to do a post-game show. We've got some good performances. No trades. That's good. We can just focus on the games. Tonight, let's get into all of it. This is the Monday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me and my mama's.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are part of the Old Man Squad, very proudly part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Now we have, is it 10 games, 12 games? Because I didn't do the pre-game show. 10 games. 10 games to get through today. And as I said, no trades. Not yet. They're coming. Let's quickly go through the top 10 players from tonight. Obviously, we'll go into more detail during the games. Trey Murphy was the number one player. Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert, Jalen Brunson, Amen Thompson, Michael Porter Jr., Naz Reid, Zach Edey, Ja Morant, and Jaren Jackson. But a lot of good performances outside of the top 10, and we will get to them. We will get to them. Good to have a night where we can just focus on what's happening rather than what we think might happen. All right. First game. It's all set up. Very good. I'm on the ball. Washington at Charlotte. What a way to open the night. Washington get the win. Charlotte get the win in terms of a loss is a win for these teams. 124 to 114. For the Wizards, Jordan Poole was very bad. Two blocks and a steal. Okay, we'll take that. But 2 of 11. He had 0 points for a long time. Anyway, not his night. Clearly old. Bilal Coulibaly, he's on one of those hot stretches again. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 4 threes. This is why I think he's a hold. I know he's been really up and down, but the highs I think are worth holding for here. He does have some pretty empty performances, but generally speaking, I think we're okay to hold him. Valanciunas, 14 and 17. No defensive stats, really nothing other than points and rebounds, but that's what he is at this point. Alex Saar continues to miss time, so we just hold Valanciunas. Kyle Kuzma had 22 points with not a lot else on 8 of 21 shooting. It's sort of back to the old Kyle Kuzma here. Points pretty empty. He hits some threes. So just hold him. If you did pick him up, if he was dropped, I'm not sure what happens this time next week, whether he's there, whether Valanciunas is there, whether Brogdon is there. We will see. Corey Kispert had 25 points off the bench. It did require 9 of 13 shooting to get there. But he does this. He goes on these little tears where he has a week of strong offensive production. Maybe this is one. Again, if Brogdon goes, if Kuzma goes, if Valanciunas goes, there could be an opportunity for him down the stretch like there was last season. But I wouldn't have him at the top of my list when it comes to stashing or streaming, whatever we want to call it. For the Hornets, of course, no LaMelo Ball. Nick Smith, another strong game. So he was very bad there for about a week, and now he's had two strong performances. Doesn't do anything really other than score, but he had 24 points, 4 threes. That's enough. It's enough to be rostered, 39 minutes. The playing time here is going to be very reliant on how well he is playing. If he's not playing well, they'll just go with KJ Simpson or Seth Curry or Isaiah Wong. So there's absolutely no guarantee here, but he is getting first shot at least being put in the position to be able to produce, and then it's on him then. Vasilij Micic had 13 and 5. He's solid enough if you need assists. It's very, very unexciting. Mark Williams had 23 and 14 with a steal and a block. So when he's playing, he's very good, but we've seen that they are open to resting him from time to time. Miles Bridges with a very random triple-double, 24, 10 and 10. His numbers are just going to be really good until LaMelo is back. Josh Green, I'm not saying he's an ad, but with no... what's his name? Josh Okogie. With no Okogie there, Green's going to get minutes. He gets steals. Scoring is pretty up and down, but not exciting, but someone to consider. And then, as I said, we've got our KJ Simpson, Musa Diabate. None of those guys are really trustworthy unless we get an injury to Micic or Smith or Williams. Then we would look at those guys as alternatives. All right, a lot of questions coming in. We will get to those at the end. Atlanta at Detroit. Much needed win here for the Hawks. 132 to 130. Trae Young hit game winner, I suppose. It was the shot that put them ahead. 34 points, 9 assists. So, no, it's good to see. I do think he was somewhat of a snub, if that's what we're calling it, for the All-Star game. So good to see him playing well. Dyson Daniels, I don't think I need to say anything about Dyson Daniels, do I? 19, 6 and 7, 4 steals, 3 blocks. He hit a 3-pointer. Free throws are really his only downfall here. 6 of 10 from the free throw line. He's obviously punt free throw territory. He's not going to get 10 every night, so it's not as bad as this. But 7 defensive stats. I don't really need to say anything. Okongwu had 12 and 8 with 2 blocks. Still no Clint Capella, still no Bogdan Bogdanovic, and still no trade. So we're not sure whether they are on the move. Keep rolling with Okongwu. Zachary Risa-Shea had 17 points. He's not doing much outside of scoring, and he isn't playing starters minutes. But as long as he's shooting the ball quite well, which he is, he now has 17 points at least in 3 straight games. So he's probably worth adding if you simply need points and threes. DeAndre Hunter started. He had 20 points. Again, nothing else. Literally nothing else. 0 blocks, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals. But 20 points is valuable in certain situations. And look at this, a Vete Krejci sighting, 28 minutes, 13, 4 and 2 with a steal and a block, 3 threes. This is what he was doing about a week ago, and then he just sort of not vanished, but they tried a few different things. The fact that they won here, he played good minutes. I'm hoping this means that they stick with him. Muhammad Gay was out of the rotation. If you've got Krejci, I would hold, especially after this performance. No guarantee, as we've seen, but I think he is a hold. Larry Nance, 12 and 10 with a steal in 20 minutes. 20 minutes is not really enough for Nance. I'd love to see 24 to 25, even without Clint Capella. But we're not there yet. He's fine as a streamer. For Detroit, we got a nice Asar Thompson game here. 25 minutes seems to be his limit, so if that's enough for you, then you can hold him. 13, 4, and 4 with 3 steals. We will get to his brother later, who had a slightly better game. Tobias Harris had 22 points. He's not doing a lot else, but the points have been really nice lately. So he is a hold. We may trend towards him being a drop again at some point, but for now he's a hold. Jalen Duren, 18 and 9 with 2 blocks. He's been very good the last, I want to say, month. I'm going to have a look. Because I know we copped a little bit, but people were questioning how high we were on Jalen Duren. Well, some of us more so than others. I was probably in that bucket of being too high on him. And I was too high on him. I'm not gonna argue that fact. But he's now 100th for the season. Last month, he's a top 50 player, 13 and 11, 2.2 steals and blocks. I think coming into the season, I sort of thought defense is where his value is going to hinge. He'll be a double-double guy. I was fairly certain of that. To start the season, the rebounds were down. I thought he'd sort of be around 15 and 11 or 15 and 12. So the points aren't quite there, but the rebounds are there. And I was hoping he'd get like 2 to 2.5 defensive stats. I just don't see him as a 2 blocks per game kind of player. But I was hoping like 1.2, 1.3 with almost a steal. Over the last month, he's at 1.3 and 0.9. So pretty close to where I sort of had him. So hopefully this can hold. Just to justify, I guess, why we were that high on him. Cade Cunningham had a very good game, 30 and 14. Malik Beasley, 18 points off the bench with 2 steals, 6 threes. So continues to be one of the better streaming waiver pickups of the season. Yeah, he's not a streamer anymore. All right, Houston at New York. Good win for the Knicks here, 124 to 118 without OG Anunoby. We'll start with the Rockets, though. Amen Thompson, who, as expected, started at point guard with Fred VanVleet out. Now, VanVleet is week to week, which doesn't sound great. All-star break is coming. Oh, look, he won't play till the all-star break. I'm fairly certain of that. So we're looking at another week and a bit here of Amen Thompson as the starting point guard. 25, 11 and 11, 2 steals, 1 block, 7 of 7 from the line. Didn't hit a 3. That's probably the only negative here, but he isn't a floor spacer anyway, so that's fine. But yeah, could be a week or two here of top 20. I don't know. He's pretty good. Tari Eason started. He had 12 and 6 with a steal and 3 blocks in 34 minutes. All really encouraging. The fact that he started, that's encouraging in itself. But the fact that he played 34 minutes, very encouraging. So he's not available. But if you picked him up, it was a little bit up and down there. Hopefully this is the start again with Fred VanVleet out of a good run for Tari Eason. Jayson Tate also started at center with no Alper and Şengün. 8 and 6. I'm not adding him anywhere. Steven Adams played 26 minutes. Jock Landale was out, so I guess they just sort of shuffled this up a little bit. But Steven Adams is the guy we want here until Şengün is back. He had 13 rebounds with a block. Cam Whitmore had 18 points, 2 steals in his 23 minutes. If he can push to this sort of range, 23, 25 minutes, he's probably someone we want to consider in 12s, especially if you need points and some sneaky steals. Reed Sheppard, disappointingly, only played 6 minutes, so we're not interested in him. For the Knicks, Josh Hart played again through his knee injury and played 40 minutes. Good old Tibbs. 19, 8 and 5, steal and a block. Cat, he was fine here. 22 and 9, steal and a block. 3 of 5 from the line, though. This shooting is still a little bit of an issue for me. I think his finger is probably bothering him. Given that he's playing through it, I would assume it's sort of just going to heal itself and he will be fine. But this is a little bit of a buy low, maybe, if you want to consider that. Precious Achiuwa started with Anunoby out. He had 7 and 9 with 2 steals. He's a good streamer when Anunoby misses time. So obviously not a fantastic night here, but 9 rebounds and 2 steals is okay. I won't talk about Brunson or Bridges. They were both good. McBride, 7 points. The 26 minutes are, I guess, fine. He'll probably be better than this most nights in 26 minutes. So if you did stream him in and you want to continue to do so, I think that's okay. All right, San Antonio at Memphis. Pretty comfortable win here for the Grizzlies, 128 to 109. For the Spurs, we know De'Aaron Fox, he'll be probably in for the next game. So we're going to see what their rotation looks like tonight. They just went with exactly the same, what they've been doing for the last however long, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Wemby, 27, 10 and 5, two steals, two blocks. So not his most efficient night, but not his worst either. Speaking of efficient or not efficient, Devin Vassell, 5 of 15. Nice buy low opportunity for Vassell here. The minutes are still fine, 34 of them. De'Aaron Fox is going to come in. There's going to be an impact. There'll definitely be an impact, as I said. But I do think that it might help Vassell in terms of efficiency. That's been a real issue for him the last 1 to 2 weeks. I think he's shot. I just wrote his blurb. I think he's shot under 40% in 5 of the last 6, something like that. So if we look at his production from the last 2 weeks, he probably doesn't take a hit because he's been bad. So I think he is a buy low. And I think he'll be okay. I know his ceiling is not what we had probably, or not what I had thought coming into the season, but I think he'll be okay. Chris Paul had 3 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. We will see what happens with him when De'Aaron Fox comes in. No indication yet as to whether he will start or come off the bench. Steph Castle had 21, 6 and 5 with a steal. Just hold. Harrison Barnes, he is the Harrison Barnes we love. 4 points in 27 minutes. This is why he's not a hold. I understand why people are. The minutes are there. We will see if anything changes in terms of the forward or the front court rotation. Jeremy Sochan was better tonight, 14, 8, and 3 with a steal in 21 minutes. So still a really, really slow ramp up. I do think we get to 30 minutes for Sochan, whether that's coming off the bench or not. So I would be holding where possible, but I understand if 21 minutes is not enough for you. For Memphis, there was no Brandon Clark. Didn't matter. We just got more of Zach Edey. Jay Huff played like a minute or something, didn't he? Yeah, a minute, so who cares? Jaren Jackson, very good. Ja Morant returned. He had 25, 11 and 4, 11 and 3, sorry, with 3 steals. So a nice game for Ja. It's really his health is the question mark every game, basically. Luke Kennard stunk it up, 2 points, 3 assists. Look, when Morant's healthy, G.G. Jackson is healthy, Smart is close, Scottie Pippen is healthy. Kennard's really just a streamer, nothing more, as is Jalen Wells. I did mention Zach Edey, one of his better games, 16 and 14 with a block. Obviously, height-wise, size-wise, this is a good matchup with Wemby. But Brandon Clark, I don't think, will miss much time here. So I would expect Edey to go back to 18 to 19 minutes in the next game. G.G. Jackson had 27 points, 3 steals. This was a blowout. They are much, much deeper than they were last year. So while this was a good performance, I wouldn't go chasing this and adding him for the next game necessarily. Aldama, only 6 points in this one. And I feel like if they're healthy, this value is just going to fluctuate on the bench, which makes it really hard to project. All right, Milwaukee at OKC for the Bucks. Do we need to talk about anything? I don't think so. They had no one. Ryan Rollins looked really good, but then got injured. 16 points, 2 steals in 18 minutes. I like him, but he doesn't get enough run on a nightly basis. Honestly, I'm not doing anything at all with this. And on the OKC side, I'm also not doing anything because they had no Jalen Williams. He was questionable. They probably saw that the Bucks were resting everyone, so they just said to Jalen Williams, stay in your pyjamas, stay at home, watch it on the TV. He was probably at the game, to be fair. I didn't see. But, yeah, I don't really think we need to talk about anything here either, so I'm going to go to the next game. A game that does warrant some discussion. Sacramento at Minnesota. Good win. Good win for the Kings. There was no... Oh, Fox. No De'Aaron Fox because he's been traded, and Zach LaVine not cleared to play yet. I believe he will play in the next game, though. So the Keon Ellis spot start, while it was very good, it was what we expected, it is not going to last because Zach LaVine is not coming off the bench. So Keon Ellis, 13 points, Three steals, two blocks, very good. Hold him if you want to. We will see if he can play 26-plus minutes. He might be worth holding. If he goes back to 22-20, then he's probably not worth holding. Malik Monk had 26, 8, and 5, a steal and a block. Very good start to his unofficial point guard career. DeRozan, 33, 5, and 7. Turning back the clock a little bit, good to see. Keegan Murray had 19 points, 7 rebounds, a steal. So a nice offensive sort of proactive game here, but replacing Keon Ellis with Zach LaVine, there's not going to be – Zach LaVine is not coming in and taking 8 shots, put it that way. So, yeah, people are going to lose out here a little bit. I don't want anyone on their bench. I'm going to Minnesota. Naz Reid, I said he was one of the top 10 players tonight. 30 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, playing through a finger sprain, something. Anyway, he was very good. Surprisingly, as was Rudy Gobert, 19 and 13, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 8 of 9 from the field, 3 of 3 from the line. So, really nice from Rudy Gobert, 40 minutes. Why can't they just do this every game? I'm happy. I've got him in rosters and it's good to see. So hopefully he can keep it up. Mike Conley, 9 points, 27 minutes. He's a hold if he fits a need, if he fills a need. See a need, fill a need. Isn't that off, what's that movie? I can't even think what the movie is now, the robot one. Or maybe it's just robots. I think that's what it's called. See a need, fill a need. Mike Conley might do that for you if you need assists with some steals. Alexander Walker, only 23 minutes, back on the bench, 2 points. You can safely move on from him. Jaden McDaniels continues his very, very good month of production. 22, 7 and 2, 3 blocks, 1 steal, must roster player. Indiana at Utah. Luckily, Indiana get the win. Lucky for the Pacers and lucky for Utah. For the Pacers, Halliburton was pretty good in this one. Defensively, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Still pretty quiet offensively for me. 18 points, 6 of 15 from the field. He had 6 assists. So it's fine, but it's not hitting those heights that we were accustomed to last season. Andrew Nembhard, 10 and 8 with 2 steals. Back end 12 team, I think that's where he fits. Benedict Mathurin had 9 points with nothing. Look, he's okay. If you need points, he will be better than 9 points. There was no Miles Turner in this one, so we got a Thomas Bryant sighting. 9 and 6, 2 steals, 1 block. Look, they have no one else to play center. So if Turner misses more time, I think Bryant has to be added. His ceiling is not that high. He is a little bit like a Miles Turner, though. A Miles Turner light, very light. He can space the floor or at least try to space the floor, which the Pacers like. They like to play that 5-out offense. So he fits. He fits when he's out there. He's not as good as Turner. But, I think there's enough there if Turner misses time for him to be rostered. Obi Toppin, 19 minutes, 13 points, nothing but a streamer. Same goes for Aaron Nesmith. And TJ McConnell, whose minutes continue to shrink. 14 of them, 4 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. Still a streaming consideration, despite the low minutes. 6 assists and 2 steals can be valuable. Over to Utah. Colin Sexton left this game with a ankle, I believe it was. He wouldn't be on the page, actually. 3 minutes. He almost certainly misses time. Why would Utah rush him back at all? Keontae George started the second half, so we will assume that if Sexton is out, Keontae George will start. He'd been playing starters minutes anyway, but he had 31 of them here, 16 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 1 steal. Didn't shoot the ball well, but you know what you're getting with Keontae George. Isaiah Collier also played 32 minutes, 11 and 10. He is a must-roster player. Kessler, 9 and 13, 3 blocks, just doing Kessler things. Lauri Markkanen had 16 and 7. he's a hold, but we know that there's missed games coming. Same for John Collins, who was very good, missed games coming. Jordan Clarkson, his best game since returning, 35 minutes, 21 points. That probably earns him a night off in the near future as well. Our stream or stash targets, Filipowski, Sensabaugh, who, I mean, Johnny Juzang might be in that discussion, maybe. We're not there yet. We will get there, but we aren't there yet. All right, New Orleans at Denver. Let me just get through the... Sorry, I'm just clearing that so I can see all the questions. New Orleans at Denver. Gallant, valiant performance from the Pelicans. We could put it that way. The Nuggets do get the win, 125-113. For the Pelicans, our friend Trey Murphy, 41 points, 2 steals, 1 block, 8 threes, perfect from the line. Was he number one? Is that what I said? Number one tonight? Yes, the number one player tonight. Probably the number, I don't know, what is he? Let's have a look. First rounder over the last 2 weeks? Do we dare go that high? Oh, indeed. All right. He's the number one ranked player over the last week, number six over the last 2 weeks, number four over the last month, number six over the last 2 months. Pretty good run. Pretty good run. Pretty glad I drafted him. Zion Williamson had 14, 6 and 5 with a steal and a block. Offensively, a little bit passive. Everything else is good. Eve Misi, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. As if he's playing 34 minutes, he's fine to hold. Javonte Green started here. So this was, I guess, the discussion that was had following the DeJounte Murray injury was, do we add Jose Alvarado? Do we add Jordan Hawkins? Is the answer neither? I wouldn't say that at this point. I would hold Alvarado if you picked him up. I wouldn't drop him after one performance. It wasn't great, 8-4. He was a must-roster player. I don't think I was as high on him as others, just because we've seen in the past who he is, what he is. Offensively, very, very inconsistent. Usually he'll get you some steals and assists, so I would expect more in those categories. Jordan Hawkins failed to score in 14 minutes. I feel like his minutes are going to be more reliant on how well he's playing. So if he's shooting the ball well, he will stay on the court. If he's not, they just won't play him. And they didn't play him here. Carlo Matkovic, 27 minutes. Look at that. 11 rebounds, a block. He's interesting. I don't really want to run out and add him. I would need to see more of a sample size of him playing meaningful minutes here. I'm not buying into this just yet. For Denver, Jokic, triple-double, fine. We had no Aaron Gordon. Calf, we could have a discussion about that, couldn't we? Calf maintenance. How long's he been back? A month? 3 weeks? And they're still doing maintenance on his calf? Dudes, come on. If you're either not injured or you are, and why are you playing if they're having to manage you through a calf injury? Anyway, no Aaron Gordon. Zeke Nagy started. We're not adding Zeke Nagy. Michael Porter Jr., very good performance, 36, 7, and 2. He's rostered anyway, but no chance of a buy low after this performance. Christian Brown started with Westbrook out. He had 11, 6, and 4 with a steal. So this is sort of where he sits, I think. Double-digit scoring, handful of assists and rebounds with some defensive stats. So this is fine. Not as good as he has been, but still fine. Julian Strouther, I streamed him in tonight. Pretty happy about that. 15 points, 2 steals. He hit a 3. I do think with Westbrook out, with Peyton Watson out for the foreseeable future, Strouther is going to be their sixth man. Should play upwards of 20, 22 minutes a night, which I think gives him some back-end appeal. All right, we're getting there. 2 games left, I think. Orlando at Golden State. Good win for the Warriors, 104-99. We will start with the Magic. Paolo, Franz, do we need to talk about them? Not really. Caldwell Pope, no need to be holding him. I don't think especially once Suggs is back. Cole Anthony came off the bench for 26 points. Man, this guy is inconsistent. And Anthony Black had zero. Next game, Anthony Black might have 22 and Cole Anthony might have seven. It's so hard to pick these two guys. I'd probably still prefer... Oh, it's so hard. If Cole Anthony's coming off the bench, I prefer Cole Anthony because they don't have a lot of scoring in the second unit, so he needs to... If they start him, I prefer Anthony Black because starting alongside Paolo and Franz, they just don't need Cole Anthony to be as aggressive. So depends on who's starting there. Let's talk about the center rotation. Goga Badadze had 6 points, 14 rebounds, a steal and a block in 20 minutes. That was majority of that came in the first half, first three quarters, and then he just didn't play. Now, I sort of did a bit of hunting around here to see if he was on a minutes restriction. There's nothing I can find, but this screams minute restriction to me because he wasn't injured. There's nothing on the injury report, as far as I know. I will double check. No, there is nothing on the injury report that's come out saying he's injured. He was playing well. I think he had six offensive rebounds. So, look, he was playing really well. Wendell Carter, it's not like he came on and was dominating. He had 6 points with nine rebounds, zero blocks. The seven assists are interesting, but he's not coming for his minutes. So I'm hoping that this is a situation where they're just being cautious with Goga, easing him back in. But, man, they need to start winning because they have slumped big time. They're now 24 and 27 and sitting, what have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're now eighth in the East after earlier in the season pushing for a top four. And they're only, half a game? I don't know how that works. Ahead of Atlanta, not that far ahead of Chicago. That'll give the Bulls hope, won't it? Not looking great in Orlando. They need to start racking these wins up. For Golden State, Draymond Green returned. Didn't do much. 7 points, seven rebounds, five assists, a steal. He's very back end, I think. Honestly, if he was on my waiver wire, unless I'd have to be punting points, threes, probably free throw percentage. He sort of fits a big man build, but he doesn't block shots anymore. So it's pretty hard to fit him in. It's sort of a square peg round hole kind of situation. Wiggins was good. Curry was good. Buddy Hield was Buddy Hield. Please don't add Buddy Hield. It was Moses Moody's game, 17 points, nothing else, but it's going to be him or Pajemski or Schroeder or Buddy Hield occasionally. All of these guys are just streaming options. No need to be rostering them. And Quinton Post started. So still no reliable center options in Golden State. Kevon Looney had 16 rebounds. He is a very good rebounding streamer. He has been for about 4 years, but he does nothing else. So very, very, very limited. Last game of the night, the Phoenix Suns take on the Portland Trailblazers. And the Blazers accidentally get another win. What is going on in Portland? Is that nine of 10 or eight of nine or something? Yeah, I mean, they're still well down in the standings. But anyway, whatever. Good to see them trying. They're not openly tanking at the moment. Let's start with Portland because it's a little easier to work through, I think. Beal, very good off the bench. I don't need to talk about him. Grayson Allen, if you need threes, he had three of them tonight. Royce O'Neal finally had a good Royce O'Neal game. 14, 4 and 5, 4 steals. This is why he's a good streamer. A lot of the time he hasn't been. Maybe you can catch fire here if you want to add him. Then by all means, go ahead. He is much better than Ryan Dunn, who had 0 points. Tyus Jones, this is why I don't think he's a must roster player. 0 points, 3 assists, and a steal. So very, 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 very back end. Nick Richards, I would hold him. We know that he is just up and down. His minutes are up and down. 2.7 rebounds, steal and a block. I actually think I had him on my bench tonight, so I'm not sad about that. And that's it for Phoenix. We don't need to talk about their main guys. Let's talk about the Blazers, though. 41 minutes of Jeremy Grant. That's what we all love to see. 14 points for Grant. Not much else. He's a hold. If he's playing this much, he has to be held. But surely there comes a point where they try to move him, but they probably are trying to move him. Denny Avdija was very nice. He was a little bit down, I think, in the last game, so better here. Tamani Kamara, 17 and 5, steal and a block. Very good from him. Anthony Simons was, disappointing. Look, they won, so who am I to criticise? But I'd love to see Scoot out there over Anthony Simons. Simons wasn't playing well. I thought Scoot was. Scoot had 15 and 6 with a steal in his 22 minutes. Anthony Simons had 13. He had 10 assists in his 42 minutes. I really hope Simons is moved. I hope Grant is moved. I hope Ayton is moved. And I think Blazers fans probably hope for that too. As for Ayton, 25 and 20, steal and a block. Credit where it's due. He played very well. He has been playing very well. I don't think it lasts, but yes, I said credit where it's due. With him playing well, Donovan Klingon, 10 minutes. He is a stash and nothing more. Shaedon Sharpe had 9 points. I'd rather Scoot over Shaedon. I think Shaden's very borderline. Probably a hold. He'll be better than this, but he just doesn't have that. Like, Scoot has some assists and defensive upside. Shaedon Sharpe is points and points alone. That's it. All right. Questions. Let's fly through these. All right. Shining Knight, you did not miss the pregame show because I also missed the pregame show. Yes, I do. Well, I hate. Hate's a strong word. I'm not going to say I hate Ayton. I just, his attitude annoys me and his passiveness at times, but he has been good the last 2 weeks. So, yes, he has. What have we got? Joseph Kim. Buzelis is on your waiver wire, 12-team 9-cat. Should you stash using one of your 4 pickups or wait till the end of the week? Lonzo is on waivers too. Low on waiver priority right now. I think I'd rather Buzelis over Lonzo. Only because Lonzo, I think, is almost maxed out. I think he's a must-roster player, but if you're treating them, if this is a stash discussion, I think Buzelis has the upside to get to 35 minutes, where I don't think Lonzo really gets past 30. There's also rumours of him being traded, and I don't see a situation where he's traded into a better position. So I think if we're looking at this purely as a stash, or from a stash perspective, I would go Buzelis. Shining Knight. We wonder if Fassell loses enough value to be a drop. I don't think so. I hope not. I don't think so. Alvarado is a drop. He could be. I wouldn't drop him yet. It was one game. But, yes, it was not the game we'd been hoping for. Bilal is on waivers too. I don't think Bilal, Io, Lonzo, or Buzelis are better than Goga or Vassell. No, probably not. Yeah, I don't think so. Is Trey Murphy and Amen Thompson, are they top 50 rest of season? Yes, I think Trey Murphy is. Amen Thompson, again, I'm still not confident they will start him. I know that sounds ridiculous given how well he's been playing when Jabari Smith is back. But I think we probably treat him as a top 50 player rest of season. What's Alex's question here? Goga, Naz, Saar, Jalen Smith all available on the wire. Naz and Saar just dropped, come off waivers in 30 hours. Who to target in a points league? Depends how many pickups you've got. So if you've only got two, I'd probably wait. If you've got five, six, then I've said I'd probably leave two to three for the end of the week. So depending on how many you have, I would leave, I would leave that many. Would I pick up any of those guys? Jalen Smith is, I know Jalen Smith is a popular target. I'm not as high on him. I think he can be stashed, but I'd prefer all three of those guys over Jalen Smith. In a points league, I think Naz Reid probably has the highest upside. Saar is more of a categories because of the blocks. Goga likewise. You could take a flyer on Naz. He's been playing well. I'd be okay with that, I think. But like I said, I would wait if you need to. Malik Monk is in the top 50. Yep, I think Monk will... we saw tonight. I mean, there was no Levine there, but he is going to run things there. Streamed a good Nick Smith game today. God was on my side. He certainly was. That's two in a row for him. Should you be selling high for Monk, Trey, or Amen? So if you have all three of those guys, I wouldn't, because I don't think you're going to get... Like, theoretically, they could all be top 30 players, and I don't think you're getting a second rounder back. So I'd be okay just holding them. Alex traded away Hartenstein for DeMar over the weekend in a points league. Overall, pretty happy. I think that's all right. Yep. Yeah, I think that's fine. How do I see Sohan and Castle fitting with the Spurs lineup? We don't know is the answer. I'm not gonna try and spin some stuff here. I still think Sohan may end up starting at some point. I just think he's better as a starter. He's not wasted on the bench, but I think he's a good fit in that starting lineup. So both are going to take a hit. Castle the bigger hit, I think. It's hard to know. I would be holding until we see what their lineup looks like. Do they start Castle? Do they start Chris Paul? Is there any indication that Sohan is going to move into the starting lineup? But it's really hard to know. Do I drop Tyus Jones for Terry Rozier? Brooks available this week with five games. Well, he's only got four now, because one of them was tonight. Yes, I'd be fine dropping Tyus Jones in a points league, especially a 10-team. Would I rather Rozier over Brooks? If Brooks has four games, I don't know how many games Miami have. Brooks, they have four games, but I guess there's a chance they rest him for one of those. I know they have two back-to-backs. So they have a back-to-back tonight, tomorrow. Then they play in the middle of the week, and then I think they close with a back-to-back. So there is a chance that Brooks rests one of those games. So he's got four more on paper. Doesn't mean he plays four. Ellis no longer a stash with Levine coming in. I don't think so, but you've held this long, I probably would hold. Because they might not be done making moves. So if you've held on this long, I would probably hold until Friday. Do I think Bane's injury is a short-term one? They've said he's week to week, which is not a great sort of, I guess, not a great launching point for a discussion about an injury, but this could be one of those situations. I talked about this maybe last week, where teams will start to extend injury layoffs because they know that there's a week coming up. So if they continue winning, if Ja Morant's relatively healthy, they will probably just shut Bane down till the All-Star break, because they're sitting very comfortably in the standings at the moment. They want Bane for the back end run. So I don't think it's too bad, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get him back until after the All-Star break. Thoughts on the Pelicans rotation, not what I expected. Yeah, look, it isn't what any of us expected. I'm just going to bring up the game here. Not what we expected. Look, I do think part of this was probably matchup based, because the Nuggets basically ran. I mean, Christian Brown, they had him penciled in as a guard, but he's more of a wing than a guard. So maybe they just went for a little bit of extra size here rather than Alvarado manning up against a Christian Brown. So, yeah, it was interesting. It's probably what the Pelicans are going to do, to be fair. I mean, they're, what are they now? They're 11, second worst record in the West, and they're only half a game ahead of Utah. So they could very well be, end up being the worst team in the league. I think Washington are probably, Washington will have something to say about that. But what do you need? Bottom three to get the best odds, I think. So they don't want to win games, I don't think. So they will just shuffle this rotation around, which does make fantasy value hard. All right, where are we? Alex's question, what do we think of GG as a late season option? Could he move up? I don't think so. I do think that the Grizzlies will get to a point where they can maybe give players a bit of a night off, but not like last season. Like last season was just a wash. They were basically what the Pelicans are this season last year. So, yeah, I don't think so. I have my doubts. Collier, finally a clear must roster. I think he was anyway, but yes, the Sexton absence certainly helps. Alex wants to add Bilal. Yes, he has been up and down. Don't trust any offensive output against Charlotte. No, do not. Washington, Charlotte, Atlanta, Brooklyn, always add sort of 20% to, or take away 20% from what they've done. So, yes, this was very good from Bilal. He has had periods like this, but it's certainly not going to stick. Is Nembhard an ad in 10-team points leagues? He is in good recent form. I mean, the fact that Halliburton's not playing great, consistently great, helps Nembhard. He's sort of, I guess his floor is probably safe enough that you could hold him. He's playing 30-plus minutes. He gets assists. He's an all right scorer. So he's fine to hold or fine to drop. I don't think it matters. Alex, Shams reported that Golden State are calling everyone for stars. Deal could work around Wiggins, Gary Payton, Looney, Kuminga picks. I'm not surprised because I've talked about the Warriors. They're probably the team I'm the most worried about, only because this Steph window is not very wide at the moment. They need, if they want to build around him to win a title, they need to do it in the next 1, 2, maybe 3 years. And the roster at the moment is not even close. So, yeah, I think if they want to, and they could, like a Paul George, their window is 2 years. So, yes, Paul George, he's 32 or something, 33. He fits that timeline. Ideally, you'd like to get someone younger, but this is a situation where they would potentially be happy. But if they do that, if they look to add talent here and build around Steph and push for a title in the next 2 years, I can't imagine what the fall-off is going to look like. Once Steph is done, and if they are adding veteran pieces around him, it's going to be ugly, which is fine. It's fine. I mean, they know how to build in Golden State, so it will be okay if we think long term, but it's not going to be pretty. All right, Zip with a one. Zip with a one. 10-team, 9-cap Roto looking for assists, steals, threes, points. Do I pick up Alvarado, Collier, or Keyonte George? Assists, steals, threes, points. Keyonte George would be my decision there, followed by Collier, followed by Alvarado. Alvarado probably has highest upside in steals, points, assists, threes is Keyonte George, and he'll get some steals. So, yeah, I would go Keyonte George there. All right, what are we reading? Sorry, I'm just reading. All right, let's pop this one up from Alex. Maybe it won't be due to all the young talent they have waiting in the wings, but purely because Portland are winning games that they move players and enter full tank mode. Yeah, it could be. They're winning too many games. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be really hard for them to get a bottom three now. New Orleans, Washington, and who's the other team? Should know this. Utah. New Orleans, Utah, Washington, I think are pretty much locked into the bottom three at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, if you're not going to get that, and then it's sort of a gap. So you sort of got the Spurs, the Blazers, Chicago are in that range. And then you've sort of got Toronto and Brooklyn, Philly, a lot of Eastern Conference teams there. So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do in Portland. It has been a crazy deadline so far, very, very big moves. How many more do we think are coming? A lot, I hope, because I want something to talk about with Dan on our show on Thursday. I think, yeah, look, there's still rumours. Cam Johnson is still out there. Teams looking for centres. Teams looking to offload bad contracts. So Jimmy Butler, who knows what's happening with him? We haven't heard anything for a while. Potato Muncher. Zero or O. Do we think Sohan will push to a drop with Fox? He might. I wouldn't yet because this is probably me being glass half full as opposed to glass half empty, but I think Sohan is still pretty key to what they want to do, and I'd like to think that he will start at some point. Is Reece Shea a keeper in a 12-team 9 cap? Yeah, I think at the moment, if you need points, yes. He's scoring. He's not doing anything else. I'd like to see his minutes up at 30. He's still at around 25. So pretty borderline, but he's playing well. So I think he's on the cusp. I think you could hold him while he's playing well. If he has one or two games where he gets you 9 points on 3 of 12 shooting, I'd be okay to move on as well because I don't think his upside is that high. All right, Alex. Picked up Brooks for 5 games, but also have Tari and Amen. Would I drop Dylan and or Lonzo for a better stash chase a player post-trade? Yes. Yeah, I mean, you don't know, obviously, post-trade. We're not post-trade yet. But if we get to, like, I would treat his spot. If you want to hold him, he plays tomorrow. If you want to hold him, and then if someone pops up, like one of these guys post-trade is floating around, like a Buzelis or, I don't know, Vooch gets traded. Okay, I want Jalen Smith. I wouldn't be hesitant to drop Dylan Brooks and go and add one of them guys. Sorry, I'm reading. Do we think Aaron Gordon is droppable? Oh, in a points league. Ooh. Yeah, look, it's pretty close. I've never been super high on Aaron Gordon. I think he's real-life value far outweighs fantasy. He's never really been a good fantasy player. Just pulling up his numbers now. Because I think by all accounts, this has been a good season for him, and I bet you he is outside the top 100. Okay, loading up. Aaron Gordon, currently... Yes, he's barely inside the top 200. 12.5 points, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. He gets nothing on defense. That's sort of the big negative on him. He's a little bit like It's a little bit like Otto Porter, if you remember Otto Porter from a few years ago. But he had some steals upside. But other than that, he did absolutely nothing. But people rostered him. And Aaron Gordon's sort of the same. He just does enough. Like he'll get you one game, he'll get you. Like just reading through his box scores here, last game was bad. Before that, he had 11-3-3, 15-6-1. He had a 13-3-2 with two steals, 19 points, three assists, 16-6-3. So his points are up and down, and they sort of mask the fact that he rarely gets defensive stats. He is efficient, but he's just low volume. Anyway, that's a long answer to a question that's pretty simply, yes, I think he can be dropped. And Shining Knight, holding onto your ads for the deadline, good idea indeed. I am going to get out of here now. Again, sorry there was no pregame show this morning. There will be a pregame show tomorrow because I work from home, so I don't have to prep myself and get out the door. I can just stumble up to the computer and record. We'll see if we get any trades. Probably not, although we're close to that deadline now. Remember, go and pre-like the trade deadline show, which will be Thursday at, I think Dan's recording it at about, I don't know, like 9 a.m. or something. He's starting something stupidly early, too early for me. I'll be on from around 1 p.m., midday, 1 p.m., so around 4 or 5 a.m. I'm going to need a coffee, but I won't be able to make a coffee because my household will be asleep. So I don't know how I'll be functioning, but I'll be here. Go and like that. Please go and like and download our shows as well. Do all of that stuff that we ask of you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.